Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for this biblical study time from the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from Interstate 55, due west toward Tunica, on the side of the south side of Highway 4 West. It'd be good to have you in our services this morning, 9:30, Bible study classes, 10:30, preaching service and the Lord's Supper as well, and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We invite you to come and be a part of that service. If you cannot attend on Sunday morning, be sure to come by on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Get a good Bible study and the Lord's Supper as well. Good to be with you today. The biblical studies that we do here on this program are programs that we meant to warn people in regard to a way of life that they don't need to follow. In Romans chapter 16 and verses 16 and 17, we read, "Salute one another with holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned of us, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." I want you to observe that there's a warning given here in this passage. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses. Note them. Be aware of what they teach. How do you know if what they teach is not of God, if it's not that which was formerly delivered by the apostles themselves? Listen to what it says once again. He says there, "Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have received of us, and avoid them. They are such that do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." I want you to observe that we have a responsibility, each one of us has a responsibility, in regard to seeing that what's taught to us is from those who formerly taught the Word of God in the New Testament times. When you and I find ourselves teaching that, we're teaching the Word of God. When we do not teach that, when we teach our own volition and our own ideals, we are not teaching the message that came from the apostles back then. In Acts chapter 9, the other day I heard, if you can call that the case, it would be the case he was talking about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. On the road to Damascus, he was emphasizing the point made in Acts chapter 9 that Paul was one who said, Saul of Tarsus was one who said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And emphasized that since he now had met Jesus, he could find salvation and untold wonderful blessings in Christ. But that's not the end of the message there. When I read a little bit further there in Acts 9, I read where he's told, "Go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do." When he gets into the city, the story continues in Acts chapter 22. A gospel preacher named Ananias, who did not want to go see Saul of Tarsus, but nevertheless he did. And when he got there, he saw a man pitiful. He saw a man in deep prayer. I have an idea of what he was praying about: his salvation, his hope, his willingness to be forgiven by the Lord for what he had done to him, persecuting Jesus. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest," is what was said to him. "Go into the city, and there be told what thou must do." He was not told on the road to Damascus what he must do. He was told in the city by Ananias, who arrived and saw a man in deep prayer, "Why tarriest thou, brother Saul?" A fellow Jewish brother, not a brother in the faith. He's not yet forgiven of his sins. He still has his sins with him. And notice what he said there. Acts 22, beginning at verse 16. He is to be a person who arises and goes and is baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What was he to do? He was to arise, go be baptized, and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I understand that calling on the name of the Lord to be a way in which he was obedient to the Lord. Do you? Do you still say that he saved on the road to Damascus? You can meet the Lord there. You can see him there, as Saul of Tarsus did. And he was converted there. He became a wonderful servant of God. Well, he did become a wonderful servant of God, but it wasn't until after he obeyed the word. The word that the Lord said, go into the city, and there you'll be told what you must do. It was in the city that Ananias came to visit him. And Ananias said, why tarriest thou? Arise, go be baptized, is literally the Greek text there. Arise, go be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be a person who wants the Lord to save you. Be a person who is baptism, is buried in water, and comes forth calling upon the Lord. Please recognize this. I want to be saved at your hand. I want to be redeemed. I want to be forgiven of my sins that I've done to you. Indeed, that is a wonderful attitude to have, and it's the attitude I believe that Saul of Tarsus had. Later referred to as Paul, the apostle of the Lord. He'll speak regarding that time in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9. He says to the brethren, it's not by my righteousness that I was saved. It's not by my righteousness that I got redeemed. It's because of the Lord Jesus himself, his righteousness, which is the righteousness of God. Jesus did the right thing when he came. He did the right thing when he went to Calvary. He did the right thing in the resurrection of the dead. He did the right thing in telling the apostles what they were to do. Go and there teach that gospel to every nation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Read it for yourself there in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Indeed, this is the message of the Lord. It's not my message. It's not some people's message and religious movements. It's the message of the Lord. And that's the message that's proclaimed. That's how we can know the difference in truth and error. John writes regarding that matter in the book of 1 John, in chapter 1, verse 9, he tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who are we? We're those in fellowship with the Father and the Son. How do they get into the fellowship of the Father and the Son? Are we not reading back here in the book of Acts how people got into the fellowship with the Father and the Son? Are we not seeing how that they did that? They didn't do that because they wished to be done, wished to be better. They did that because they were obedient to the message of the Lord, that they responded to that message righteously. And they did not by their own righteousness merit salvation, neither did they claim. Philippians 3 at verse 9, listen to Paul's statement there. He said that he didn't claim it. He was resurrected by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself. He became a servant of God because he was that kind of person. He was that kind of person as he was warned of God. Go into the city and there be told what you must do. Many people teach that message, however, differently. Saul of Tarsus on that road because he met the Lord. He didn't have to listen to a thing the Lord said. He met the Lord and he was now in a saved position. If he just accepted that mental sight that he did, he saw the Lord. But that's not what he was told. He was told there in Acts 9, go into the city and there be told what you must do. Not here on this road, but go into the city and there you'll be told what you must do. This man was told by Ananias, the gospel preacher, what he needed to do quickly. Don't tarry any longer. Get up and get yourself baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. What about your message of life? Can it stand up to a question at that time? Obedience to the Lord is obeying his will. It's eagerly yielding to God's word rather than following my own will. It is the freedom to be creative under the protection of divinely appointed authorities. Read it there in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And you'll notice also this message is said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what Paul writes to him. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and at verse 15. Notice he went on to tell him how to live. He said, let no man despise your youth. 1 Timothy 4 at verse 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believer. You be an example of the true believer of the Lord. How can you be a true believer? Jesus said that in his own words in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus told them that they would become people serving the Lord and faithful to it if they continued in the word that he taught them. Do you ever open the Bible and read it for the sense of what Jesus has taught people to do to be saved and what Jesus has taught people to do to worship God? And what others of the apostles of the Lord Jesus taught others to do to worship God in a right way and to serve the Lord faithfully? That's the way that we find ourselves actually in our fellowship with the Father and the Son, a right standing relationship with the Lord. That's the way that the Lord wants us to do. And in regard to this matter, we'll see the truth that is taught there. And back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 12, let no man despise your youth. Just because you're a young preacher and a young teacher of the Lord doesn't mean that you have the wrong message. You be sure of the message of the Lord, no matter your age and time, and go forth to proclaim that message of the Lord. He said, be an example of the believer in your words that you say, in the communication of your life. That's the manner of life that you live, the way of life that you go. And be an example in your love, in your charity, in your agape love. Be an example like God loved us and cared for us. Not because it is a righteous thing to do on the part of people who love you in return, but for those who do not care about what you say and what you do at all, but because you have the opportunity to teach them the gospel, you have the opportunity to show them not your words, but the words of the Lord himself. The word that the Lord said there in John 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice that continuing in the Word of God is the thing to do, and the result of that is coming to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. No doubt that Paul would write about that in Romans 1 at verse 16. I am not ashamed, he said, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice how we're living by faith. We find ourselves really believing what he said and putting into practice what he says as well. Let's be people who serve the cause of God. And as a result of that, we'll have what he says here to young preacher Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Be an example in the words you say. Be an example of your way of life that you live. Be an example in the love that you have. Be an example in the spirit, in the ego of your life. Be the kind of person who serves God, not yourself, but serves God that way. And because of that way, you're an example in spirit, in faith, in the way that you do things in the Lord, that you believe that he's with you and you believe the teaching of the Lord is there. And you believe the teaching of the Lord can be seen by others who go to that verse and read it for themselves. They can see God's word, their teaching. Do you do that in life? Or do you ask them to teach what you taught as your own words and your own mannerisms instead of what they can read in the scripture itself? Do you believe that people can understand what the scripture says? Do you believe that they can understand what God's word says through Jesus and his apostles as well? Can you believe that that's the case? If you can, then my friends, you have possible changes to make. For you may have accepted for your salvation and for your worship of God, you may have accepted man's words and man's ideas and the enjoyment of entertainment that goes along with many of the worship codes these days. Instead of going that way, why not enjoy a relationship with the Lord and a relationship with His way day in and day out? We're talking about a way of life that is the way of life that the Lord said for His people to follow. Listen to the truthfulness that He said as early as 2 Samuel in chapter 3, verses 8 through 21. It's the communication by life and word, that which is genuine and accurate. What is truthfulness? It's the communication by life and by words. You tell Him what's true when you genuinely and accurately display what God has said. 1 Samuel chapter 2, or chapter 3, verses 8 through 21, you'll note that the Lord here Himself was speaking to the people, and He wanted them to be told, and He wanted the people to live the way of truth. That's God's teaching and God's will. And I appreciate Rick Popjoy from the Nesbitt congregation, who shared so many Christian characteristic traits to nurture from A to Z and actually be faithful to God in obedience and in telling the truth. As we tell the truth here on this program, we cite passages of Scripture to the effect that we need to be people who follow the Lord. And if you're an example of the believer, like Timothy is told, 1 Timothy 4:12, then in the words that you say, you're going to be sure God approves of those words. But if you have words that are your own vulgar disposition, your own sinful disposition, words of profanity and the like, and others have just got to accept it because you said it and you want to enforce it, because otherwise you will be sorely critical of them, strongly against them. Instead of righteously serving God, you will be serving yourself, and others will be fearful of objecting to your way of life. We're talking about a way of life that follows God and God's will and God's way. And it's the way of life that every one of us should follow. Read it for yourself in the Bible. What did Jesus say in John 8:31? If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. Many preachers find themselves not continuing in His word. This one I spoke of the other day, of Acts chapter 9, about Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Oh yes, he met the Lord. Oh yes, he was struck down on his face there. Oh yes, he was. Some people would say that he fell off a horse, but I don't read of any horse in that passage of Scripture. Do you? But anyway, he fell down. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus," the reply came, "whom thou persecutest." Jesus literally saying, "I'm the Savior. I'm the Savior whom thou persecutest. Go into the city and there be told what thou must do." Where was it that he was told what he must do? Go into the city and there be told what you must do. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was glad to go into the city. He was glad to be a man of prayer. And in answer to his prayer, God had sent a gospel preacher named Ananias to him. Ananias came in and saw a man pitiful. No doubt his words were words of vanity about himself as to how he had mistreated the Lord. Nevertheless, in this way, he said, "Brother Saul, fellow Jewish brother." No, he was not yet saved from his sins. He still had his sins because the man said to him this. Ananias said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He still had his sins on him. He still had his sins with him. He needed to be saved from sin. And that's what he could do. He could obey the Lord. He could be that kind of person. And that's what he was. In Romans chapter 6, he says to the brethren there who were misinformed about what grace was all about, "Grace is a wonderful blessing of God, wonderful, extreme blessing of God. We're so thankful for it. We're grateful for it. And we're grateful for the hope that we have through His grace. But at the same time, as we read there in Romans 6, the brethren there was thinking that the more that they sinned, the more grace it took to save them from sin. And so the more that they sinned, they'd call upon the Lord's grace to save them, and they'd be closer to the Lord as a result of that conduct on their part. Paul writes to them and says to the following in Romans 6, beginning verse 1, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Can we continue to do sin that grace may grow more and more and more, abound more and more? Is that the way to do life? How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? We've died to sin. What do we do to die to sin? We just follow the Lord in a prayerful way. We follow the Lord in a hope that He would save us from sin. We were just ashamed of our sins and the ways of that life that we had. Is that what we did? No, He describes what they did at there at Rome. In Romans chapter 6, He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with Him by baptism into His death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we're raised by the glory of the Father to walk in newness of life." When that newness of life began for the brethren at Rome, when they continued in sin that grace may abound? No, it was not that way. Don't do that. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein, He's telling them. Don't go back and do sins again by intentional design. Don't go back and become so terrible before God like that. Be a servant of God. And as you serve God, remember what we did. Remember how we were made dead to sin. And we can't live any longer therein. We shouldn't live any longer therein because it's not the love of our life. It's not the wonderful blessings of God in our life. Oh no, that's not the way to live. The way of profanity, the way of vulgarity, the way of sin and wrongdoing, idolatry and the like, witchcraft and the like, fornication and the like, all the kind of activities of sin and wrongdoing, murder and the like, stealing and the like. No, that's not the way to live. He said, telling them this is not the way to do. There's a hope for the soul that you can have. And that hope for the soul is based upon the fact that you die to sin and you don't live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with Him by baptism into His death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are raised to walk in newness of life. Well, what were you raised to walk your new life? If you are walking a new life, the scripture there affirms to you and me that that's the way to do it. A little bit later in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, He says, "But God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness." Now, when did they become the servants of righteousness? When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What was that form of doctrine in that chapter in Romans chapter 6? The form was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You'll not find any other form that's there described. But you will find where He says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness." In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, He affirms what He earlier had described to them in Romans 6, 1 through 6. And if they died to sin, they would find a blessing in God in living forever and forever, in hope of the soul for the way that they were saved from sin. We're talking about today this way of life. And we invite you to the Crockett Church of Christ to continue the biblical study with us as we gather 9:30 Bible study classes, 10:30 for our preaching service, and 6 p.m. for our night service of preaching the gospel. And you can bring your Bible and read the things that are being said and the notations that are being made, because that's the message of the Lord that He wanted us to hear. In Romans chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, he says, "Salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you have received of us, and avoid them. They are such that do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." You'll notice the warning that is given there in Romans 16, verses 16 through 18. And he tells them to watch out for those who teach doctrine contrary to that which was taught to them earlier. What earlier message did they have? It's written there in the New Testament of our Bible. It's written there to the Romans. And really realize where they were in sin. They were made into righteousness when they obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to them. In Romans 6 and verse 18. This is the study of the Bible for you. I hope it's not too much of a study for the Bible for you, but it's a work of studying the Scripture together and to be the kind of people that God would have us to be. This is Robert Rawson. For your sake, I preach for the Crockett Church of Christ, located just 7 miles due west of Senatobia on Highway 4 West. We invite you to come and be a part of the service with us, if you can, this morning at 9:30, 10:30, or 6 tonight. We look forward to getting to the new year. We'll be back on Wednesday evening studying the Scripture together. In the month of January, January the 5th, we'll begin back once again on Wednesday night. Hopefully, that's the case because this pandemic will have been somewhat abated by that time. Once again, thank you for joining us today for this period of Bible study. This is Robert Rawson speaking.